you guys, it's movie reviewing time, and we are taking advantage of our new Shudder subscription.
Yeah, tearing it up.
Yeah, they have, oh my God, they have so many good movies. Yeah. And because it's October, they're adding a bunch of classics. So we're going to have a really lot of movies to do that have been on my list, and I'm so happy that so many of them are on there. I mean, shit. They got, like, the original Halloween. They got Cannibal Holocaust, which I'll probably do at
tearing
some point.
Tearing up Shudder. We've been tearing up Stubbs A-List from AMC Theater.
Stubbs A-List.
Studs.
Well, when you're using it, it's
Studs. Yeah, of course it's
A-List.
Studs. Three movies a week. Damn.
And we're taking full advantage. We're actually going to go, we're recording this on Thursday, and we're going to go see our third one.
Saw The Predator today. Yesterday. It was okay.
It was okay.
It wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be.
And we saw The Meg. And today we're going to go see The Nun. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, we got to see before they leave the theaters, because they're really on their way out, all three of those.
And then tomorrow we're getting, Friday morning it resets. So after tomorrow we have three more. So we'll see what we're going to see next.
I want to see Mission Impossible before that goes too.
Yeah, there was another one I think we wanted to see too, but we'll see how that goes. Okay. But anyway, today we're talking about a bona fide horror classic, Reanimator. From 1985. Now, we did a review of Beyond Reanimator, the third in the series, and we'll probably eventually get around to doing Bride of Reanimator, but I was like, you know, we really, really have to do, because how can you not do Reanimator? I mean, this kind of show
seen,
that this
If you
is.
Haven't seen this one, you need to be slapped.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
I'm just, really, Reanimator, this is kind of one of those movies like Creepshow, where if you don't like this movie, then we can't be friends.
Got some
problem.
We got some problems.
Yeah, it's just, how can you not love Reanimator?
Jeffrey Combs? A young Jeffrey Combs?
Right, it's like, this is like the fucking, easily one of the best horror comedies.
A woman literally getting head?
Yes.
Yeah, getting head from a head? It's fucking ridiculous. It's an H.P. Lovecraft-based story, loosely based on something that Lovecraft just
fairly
kinda,
loosely based, yeah.
Yeah, something he just kind of mentioned. About a guy who is a scholar who learned how to bring people back to life with some kind of serum.
Like you do.
And then the trouble that would all cause.
Well, the story behind this one, obviously directed by Stuart Gordon, this was actually his first theatrical feature. Prior to that, he had actually been involved with a theater group. So he did a lot of stage plays and things like that. He, you know, it was kind of like, it wasn't like Broadway or anything like that, but it was kind of like transgressive sort of theater. And he was talking to some friends one night, so the story goes, and he's like, you know, there's too many fucking Dracula movies and too many vampire movies. Why didn't anybody make Frankenstein-type movies anymore?
Yeah.
And one of his other friends, who knew he was a big Lovecraft fan, said, well, have you ever read Lovecraft's serial that came out in 1922? It came out in pieces, you know, called Herbert West Reanimator. And it was out of print at that point, but Stuart Gordon was like, oh, no, I haven't read that one. So maybe he's like, well, if you're into Frankenstein, go read that shit.
Right.
So he went to the library and read it. And he's like, okay, we need to make something out of this. Now, the first iteration of this, he was actually going to make it like a stage play. And then he was talking to the other writers, Dennis Paoli and the other guy, I can't remember his name right now. But they're like, well, maybe we should make it into a TV series. Because like I said, it was a serial. So they actually wrote a script for a pilot, and they said, we think it's going to be half an hour and then maybe an hour, and then we're going to do like 12 or 13 episodes. So then he's talking to somebody else, and they're like, you know, horror doesn't really work on TV. You need to make this into a movie. So he's like, come out to Hollywood. We'll get you a producer. You know, they introduced him to Brian Yuzna, and he's like, okay, well, we'll make this into a movie. So they start working on this movie. It cost less than $1 million to make. This was in 1985.
Right.
And I feel like the best thing about, other than, I mean, everything is good about this movie. There are no complaints about this movie. Like I said, it's just like I was saying about Creepshow.
Yeah, and you have to understand the movie. You have to take this movie in the context of the time, too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's no complaints when you put it in the context of the time. It's a milestone flick. And matter of fact, to get a really good copy of this on Blu-ray and with like steelbook editions, you know, they had people paying $50, $60 to get like a good copy of this, you know, all the little steelbook editions. This is a classic movie. You know, it's just a great movie.
I think the thing that makes this really work is that, one, you can tell that it was made with a great deal of care and a great deal of affection.
Yeah.
But it also, and in a weird kind of way, it doesn't take itself too seriously. Yeah. Yet all the actors are playing it completely straight.
Yeah.
And I think that makes it really work. I mean, particularly Jeffrey Combs, this was his star-making turn. I mean, this,
yeah.
If this was the only movie he had ever done,
you'd still remember him.
You would still remember, yeah. He would still be like a cult, you know, yeah. icon.
When we first saw him, you know, because I saw this when it came out, me and my buddies, yeah. you know, we could only get it like on VHS at that time. We were blown away by this guy. Who is this guy? You know what I mean? Who is that dude? You know, we just loved the guy. And then when From Beyond came out later, you know, we were all on board with that, too.
Yeah.
Which, that's another great milestone movie.
Yeah, we're going to have to do that
we'll
one,
too. We'll do that one, too, yeah.
But, yeah, and actually, speaking of Stuart Gordon, Shudder also has Castle Freak. So we're definitely going to have to do that one as well. So I haven't seen that one in a long time. But the thing, like, the cool thing about Jeffrey Combs, and I think the reason why this sort of made him a cult icon, as I said, was because, one, he takes the role completely seriously.
Yeah, his intensity.
He's like this little guy, and he's very young in this, I had forgotten.
Yeah.
But he is like, he's kind of really intensely scary and stuff, and he's kind of like an asshole, but he's still kind of lovable in a weird way, and I think it's because the way he comes across... It's like he comes across as like a know-it-all and he's very intelligent, but you can tell that he has the smarts to back that up. He's not just some guy that's like going around going, I'm smarter than everybody. He really is smarter than everybody.
And he's also a psycho.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, he's on a quest to conquer death, you know?
Yeah. And in a way, it's like, I think you can kind of relate to his like passion about the subject, even though he does some intensely, intensely fucked up things in this movie. It's like, you can understand that he's like, he's the smartest guy in the world. He's figured out how to bring people back from the dead. And, you know, so, and he's just like so into this quest that he just doesn't care who gets in his way or anything like that. But he's still, like I said, he's kind of likable, even though he's totally weird and off-putting.
He's kind of rationalized himself out of having any kind of aversion to death.
Yeah.
Because death and life are just two different stasises that he can change.
So yeah, he that's really a good care. Way of putting it.
Killing somebody, no big deal. I can just bring him back. Just bring him back,
That's actually a good way of putting
it. Yeah, he'd conquered death in his own mind. He didn't have an aversion to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what we get, now I should note too, that when this movie first came out, I believe it first premiered, they premiered it at the Cannes Film Festival in France. And they loved that shit over there. It got a special prize and everything like that. They're like, the audiences were just going ape shit over it. They just loved it. So then when they released in the theater, it actually ended up making a lot of money. Initially, they wanted to make all these cuts to get an R rating because it was going to get an X rating before because it's pretty gory and it's got some
weird sex,
upsetting sexual situations in it.
Yeah.
Even for today, I think people would probably be like,
I don't think they'd make this movie today.
They might not.
They would.
I mean, there's
it would
been,
offend too many people, I think.
No, well, I don't know about that because I've seen some recent ones that had some pretty fucked up shit in it.
That's true because we're talking about independent films. A Hollywood studio would never make this movie.
Well, no, but they wouldn't have made it back then.
They wouldn't have made it back then, no.
This, like I said, all the horrific shit that were in these movies, most of them were, particularly in the 80s, were all in like independent films.
Yeah.
But
those are the ones that really had pulled all the weight with my generation.
Yeah. Well, those are the ones that are still remembered.
The blockbuster generation. Like, well,
those are the ones that are still remembered in general.
Blockbuster.
But, yeah. But the thing is about this, it's like, so the cuts that they wanted to make this an R movie, had they made all the cuts that they wanted, the movie would have ended up being 40 minutes long.
Yeah. Nothing was acceptable.
Which, so now there were a couple of cuts floating around of this because there was kind of an R-rated version that they would show on cable or that they would show on TV. Some video stores that didn't want to show like unrated movies, you know, they had a version for them. Now there was a lot of other stuff filmed for it and put back into it that was, you know, to make it long, to make it feature length. Some of that stuff had to do with, there was a subplot about Dr. Hill, the guy that gets beheaded, how he was like hypnotizing all his victims. They just kind of touched on it in the movie. They didn't really, but there was a whole subplot about that. There was a little subplot about Jeffrey Combs, Dr. West, taking some of the serum himself, like to keep him awake. It was like, you know, kind of a pep pill type of thing. There was a little bit about that. But as far as I know, you can either see the super gory unrated version or the version that has all the other subplots in it. I think Germany is the only country that has done like a super cut that has all the gore and the sex and all the subplots in it as well.
Yeah, those are the ones that people pay big money for.
Yeah, yeah. So that's, as
and
far as I know. Steelbook
editions with books in them, and there are a lot of extras. I'm almost tempted to kind of splurge and buy something like that, you know?
Really, we should, because I have to say, it's like, I saw Reanimator many years ago, probably the same time you did. It was late 80s, probably mid to late 80s.
Yeah.
When it came out on video. I did see the unrated version, so, you know.
Yeah.
And I actually hadn't seen it since then, I don't think. I might have seen it once in the 90s, but when it came up on Shudder, we're like, oh, we got to do that one, because we already did Beyond Reanimator, and I remember loving this movie, and we sat and watched it with a couple drinks like we usually do.
Yeah.
And I had forgotten. It's like, I remembered loving this movie, but I had forgotten how fucking awesome and balls out insane it is.
Yeah, and the
tone. It's wonderful. It's wonderful.
The weird kind of tone to it, almost comedy, but really dark comedy in a way. You know, it had a lot of comedic parts in it, remember?
Which I love. Yeah. I love that fucking black comedy.
And what was weird is I was kind of seeing a weird parallel between another unlikely candidate that I was comparing this to. That was Frighteners. Frighteners kind of had that weird comedic quality to it. This one had that same quality. The difference was that Frighteners was definitely, it was not a strong R rating. It was, you know what I mean? Frighteners was not gross.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't horrible. It didn't have a horror element to it, even though I love Frighteners. It kind of had that weird, funny tone to it, though.
It's interesting because one other person on IMDb, because I was reading some other reviews of it earlier today, one other person said that, too.
Really?
That it was kind of like, that it was that same kind of vibe. And obviously, Jeffrey Combs was also
in
the Frighteners.
That's weird. So, okay, so it wasn't just me that noticed it.
Yeah, we did.
It had something to do with the edit, something to do with the humor.
Yeah. You know? Actually, I think Reanimator.
And Jeffrey Combs was in it.
Jeffrey Combs was also in the Frighteners.
You're right.
But, I think this is funnier than the Frighteners.
In a weird, twisted way.
That's my sense of humor. Yeah. So, I mean, I think this movie's hilarious. So, it's like, I can see if you're not into gore and you're not into, like, super morbid humor, then you might not think it's funny. But I think it's hysterical. It's really, it's one of the funniest, if not the funniest, horror comedy. I mean, it's, like, right up there with Evil Dead.
Yeah.
In terms of just sheer insanity.
Yeah.
It has such a great energy to it. It's really fast paced. It's like, there's no slow parts. Nothing boring happens. It's like every single scene goes one scene. And it's just more crazy shit. And it's just crazy shit happening through the whole entire thing.
Another thing for any of our younger viewers is that, this movie was a milestone in the context of the time. It's as if horror movies were slowly building up to this. And then finally it arrived at this level. You know what I'm talking about? We're like, oh, wow, this is a contemporary horror movie. I remember that, you know, we were thinking that this was the ultimate accomplishment in horror at the time that it came out. And it kind of had a natural progression. You could feel that natural progression in the movies at the time. It was just, you know, I guess you just had to be there. And then when From Beyond came out, in a way, it kind of crowned this one. That's how we...
Yeah.
We liked them both. You know, they were both different. But From Beyond had that weird sexual element to it. You know what I mean? That really stood out. It was a good time for horror. It really was.
I mean, the early 80s, there was a lot of good stuff. I mean, the 70s is probably still, you know, just in terms of classic horror films, is probably still number one. In the early 80s, I feel like there was a lot of good movies that came out, but there was like a lot of like slasher, like derivative slasher type movies too, especially like, you know, Halloween ripoffs and stuff. But this was really something original.
You know how I remembered it being different? It was fast paced for once. It didn't have the slow pace of the 70s ones. It actually showed you everything it was talking about, unlike
70s.
It had a weird sense of humor to it, and there was a big science fiction element to the horror.
Yeah.
That, you know, they were trying to make it scientifically kind of plausible, or at least, you know,
well,
given science as an excuse for showing.
Like
you.
I said, it was a Frankenstein-type story. So if
but
you can
From
buy
Beyond
into that.
Was in that same thing, where they were using the resonator.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it was kind of cool. It was just like a new era of these new horror movies that were coming. And if you were a kid in those days, it was just blowing you away.
Yeah. And I mean, I have to say that even though Jeffrey Combs like steals the show, obviously, I really like a lot of the other actors in this. The guy that plays his roommate who kind of gets roped into helping him. I like that guy, he's sort of like a straight arrow type character. I mean, he's well-meaning, but he just kind of gets sucked into this. And so he plays a good foil, I think, against Herbert West's character. Also, Barbara Crampton, obviously. she's like so good in this.
Yeah.
And she's just really believable. She's a great screamer. You know, everybody gets to see her boobs, you know, if you're into that.
You get to see more than that.
Well, yeah. Yeah. You could see pretty much all of Barbara Crampton. Yeah, like I said, there's some fucked up shit going on this.
Yeah.
And kids, if you see this, you have to see the unrated version because the R-rated version has the most famous scene, which is probably one of the most famous scenes in all of horror history, taken out.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, not only is it, you know, the head scene.
Yeah.
But also her zombified dad
is
like helping out.
Yeah, it's weird.
It's kind of fucked up.
Yeah.
But, and also the gore in this, I mean, it's 80s gore. It's all practical effects.
Yeah, it's not believable, but it is impressive to see.
Yeah. The thing about this movie is that they knew that the premise was ridiculous.
Yeah.
They knew it was just, it's kind of like in the same vein too, as like, you know, if you're going to go, you know, around the globe, you're going to go to like Australia and do like Dead Alive, like the Peter Jackson movie, where he's just, okay, well, I'm just going to make the most over the top, craziest, like fucking gore fest I can ever. He just goes for it.
Yeah.
And I kind of like that this movie has the courage of its convictions. It's like, we're just going to make this over the top.
And we're going to roll with
exploitation movie.
Yeah.
We're going to, like, the actors are going to play it straight, like this is really happening, but we're kind of like acknowledging how crazy this is, but not in a winking, ironic kind of way, which is why I didn't like a lot of 90s horror movies, because they were like, look how gory we are.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't like that kind of winking, ironic attitude. And this really does not have that. It is very earnest. And it comes across very good. Like I said, Jeffrey Combs is like this sort of deadpan, like his fucking deadpan humor, like with the whole thing with the cat.
Yeah.
And like he's sitting there going, what, you know, what was I supposed to do? Leave a note that says dead cat details later. You know what I mean? Like he's very deadpan. It's awesome.
Although you're talking about how implausible it is. I can remember at the time being a teenage boy thinking, oh yeah, this could totally happen. Yeah, man.
Oh my God.
That could totally happen. That's shit. That's how it's supposed to happen.
Yeah,
that's how
we're bring people back from the dead.
Yeah,
sure.
That's how it's supposed to happen. That'll happen eventually. Just do that, and they come back to life, and even the parts.
I really like too that. I mean, you can tell they took a lot of care with the gore. Stuart Gordon and the guy that was working on the effects. It's like we got all these books from, you know, all it's like anatomy books and, you know, pathology books that had like pictures of corpses and stuff because they wanted to get like the lividity right. So, like, a lot of the corpses that are getting up walking around, it's like you'll note that they have, like, particular patterns of kind of gore on them or, like, where the blood pooled and stuff.
Yeah.
So they actually, like, really, you know, they really kind of went a long way toward they wanted it to look as realistic as possible. Oh, I bet this is something you'll find interesting that I bet you didn't know. You know, the kind of muscle guy, like the first guy that Herbert West and Dr. King bring back. Yeah, that they reanimate, the big guy.
Yeah, who was that?
That was actually Arnold Schwarzenegger's body double.
Oh, okay.
On several movies.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. So you can see how, So, like I said, I don't think we're, you know, we've gotten this far. We haven't even really talked about the plot. But it's kind of just like, you know, it's a mad scientist type story, essentially. It's Jeffrey Combs.
Really matter.
Yeah, it's Dr. West. He was in Switzerland, and we're led to believe that maybe he was kicked out of medical school for his experiments. He ends up back in the United States at Miskatonic University. He kind of inserts himself into I like how he just shows up at his roommate's house and he's like, oh, I'm moving in. Heard you had a room for rent.
Yeah.
Nice basement. I'm staying.
I don't think he actually goes to class. Well, no, he did go to class because he broke a pencil during this.
He did go to class with Dr. Hill, and he was talking about how, you know, how
calling bullshit on Dr. Hill's
like
work.
Yeah. But, and I mean, the whole thing with Dr. Hill, that whole subplot, you know, with him.
Look at this shit.
Oh, look at this.
What are you doing? She's trying to get in there. She thinks that's a door out.
Yeah.
It's a closet.
Well, she comes in and she scratches at the closet door. And then she's like, peep, peep, peep. And I'm like, okay, but that's not outside. I tell you every time. And I open the doors and then she looks at me like, what?
Yeah.
That's not. Yep.
See, look, see, there she is.
There she does. She does this like almost every day.
I don't want to hear all that. Okay.
It's not outside.
Okay. Well, she thinks this is going outside. She's like, what the fuck? Yeah,
it's the closet.
Okay, I'm going
to
leave it open.
It's the closet, Pookie. Yeah. You can go in there and play if you want to, but it's not outside. She's looking at us like, why isn't it outside?
Yeah.
Make it outside.
Kind of like blaming me for bad weather.
Yeah,
she does that the door too. And she goes, it's hot. And then she looks at me like, it's hot. That's all.
And, her little back goes up like, oh, no, I don't like this. Fix it, humans. Yeah. Goddamn, she's adorable.
Yeah.
She's like our kid, seriously.
Let's finish this before we go off down Pookalation.
That's what we call her movement.
Pookalation.
Yeah, because she has she has a funny little bow-legged walk.
Yeah.
But yeah, so the whole thing with Dr. Hill and him kind of having the whole lecherous thing about the dean's daughter, and there's that whole creepy shit, and then he's all like fucking, he doesn't like Dr. West and Dr. West doesn't like him, and then the horrible shit that happens like at the end. I think that's like kind of the best thing about this movie. But like I said, people that have not, if you haven't seen Reanimator, what, like I said, what the fuck are you even doing here?
Yeah.
This is easily one of the best movies of the 80s, just like I said about Creepshow. Easily one of the best horror comedies ever made.
Yeah, and the great thing about it is it's low budget.
Yeah, like I said, less than $1 million.
You don't need to spend money to make a cool movie.
Yeah, less than $1 million. And it actually ended up making a couple million dollars profit when it was in the theater. And then obviously it went on to become a cult classic. So,
it's still making money.
So it probably still is because, like I said, you get new generations of horror fans coming up all the time and going back and watching all the classics. And I think this is one that, even though it's from the 80s, I think it still holds up. Like I said, it's hard for me to say because I'm old, but
We're used to those motifs and used to those backgrounds. To me, it didn't really feel that old.
It really didn't. It doesn't seem like it's all that dated or all that,
I think it's because the speed at which it unravels or unfolds. I mean, it's a fast-paced story.
It's only an hour and 25 minutes.
Yeah, and there's nothing boring about it. And that was really what we noticed first. Back in the 80s when this came out, is about how fast-paced it was. It was almost like action-adventure.
Yeah.
Almost kind of like watching Terminator 1 or Predator. It was just constant stories rolling. There's nothing, no dead spots in
it. Yeah, it just constantly stays in motion, you know what I mean? From the opening scene.
Yeah,
goes from one thing to another.
When you're a kid, we're not overly analyzing it. There wasn't any classic action scenes, with buses flipping and shit like that. But it seemed like there was action in it.
Yeah.
Corpses fighting, trying to get in. You look at it now, it's not really, if you really try to analyze, you go, this isn't an action movie. But it does have action in it,
Yeah, it has action elements. Like you said, there's a lot of corpse fights. There's beheadings. There's all kinds of crazy shit going on in this movie.
Yeah, it makes you think more. You think more happens in it than actually happens, a lot happens in it, but that's because it's a good script.
Yeah, and I was going to say too, another thing, when I was talking about Jeffrey Combs being in this and his kind of deadpan humor, one of my other favorite things is when he just totally very calmly, when this corpse is going apeshit, when he just very calmly picks up a bone saw and he's just like, huh, and he just like kind of sticks it through, and then there's like fucking gore everywhere, and he's just like, okay, well, took care of that. Like, you know what I mean?
His delivery is awesome. He's like, come on, help me. This is the freshest body we have, Oh, no. The other guy goes, we can bring him back to life. Okay.
Okay, I see. Because otherwise, if you don't, you're going to be in big trouble. Although, nothing ever works out the way
Right, didn't work out the way.
But, you have to admire Dr. West's optimism. He just thinks the next breakthrough, he's like, all I have to do is I just need fresher and fresher corpses. And then one day we're going to figure this shit out.
Yeah, and it's a series, though. It does evolve. He realizes there's more and more you need to do more and more to bring somebody back to life for real and make them normal.
Yeah.
Which you find in later movies that comes into play.
There was actually supposed to be, because like I said, we did a review of Beyond Reanimator. which was the third one, there was actually rumors floating around that there was supposed to be, eventually, I don't know if they're going to do it now, they probably won't, but they were going to do a fourth one that was going to be called Island of Reanimator, that was going to have the same, like, Island of Dr. Moreau type vibe to it, which is actually a great idea.
Why wouldn't they do it?
And I kind of wish they, well, I don't know, they've been talking about it for years and years, and I don't know if they're ever going to do
that. That would be a hit.
Yeah, I mean, everyone's, they're all still alive, pretty much. I mean, you know. Jeffrey Combs is still kicking.
He's awesome. He's awesome. As he got better as he got older. I loved him on the Star Trek stuff that he did. Did Commander Shran on Enterprise, one of the best.
That's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah, the Andorian commander. And he was like, that was one of the best characters from Enterprise. And some people say, oh, man, Enterprise sucked. Enterprise got good after a couple of seasons.
It did. I didn't
really
like
one of the best mirror episodes, a two-part mirror episode ever of all times. Mirror Darkly.
Yeah, you are.
Now I'm going.
But yeah, man, Jeffrey Combs is right up there with Bruce Campbell as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
I mean, those two are how can you not love those two guys? I said, if you don't, then I can't be friends with you. I'm sorry.
And, you know, and then the guy who did Phantasm.
Yeah.
Similar.
Yeah. You know, same kind of thing. Like I said, if you're going to make a horror movie like this, you just fucking go for broke, man.
Yeah.
Use 24 gallons of blood like they did on the show. It's just like cut people's heads off. Just cut people's arms off. Do all kind of shit. It's just crazy. It's fun. And, you know, like I said, how can you not love Reanimator? You got to love Reanimator. Mm-hmm. All right. So I guess that'll do it. Our little kitty is like.
Yeah, I'm like, go on.
She's like, get on the show. On the show, little cookie.
What are you doing?
Little baby cookie.
I'm going to bite you. She loves it when I bite her.
She loves to wrestle.
Yeah, she likes
to
wrestle.
She's a tomboy.
She thinks she's a gummy bear, actually.
She does.
She does this a lot.
Yeah.
Why are you being a gummy bear?
I don't know. She's like,
she's just totally relaxed.
Yeah.
And she does this on the floor, lays on her back.
She is a total daddy's girl, you guys.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
She loves her daddy so much.
I became father to a cat.
Oh, you're good at it though. Yeah. She loves you. Yeah, she comes in and like wants to wrestle all the time. She's like, daddy, ah! And
I walk away from her and she grabs me on the back of the heel.
Come on, we're playing. Yeah. She's rolling around.
Roll her up in the carpet and unroll her, go fling her across the
Yeah, and then she sits down like, do it again,
and I roll her back up into the carpet.
She thinks she's a puppy or a tiny human.
Yeah.
But yeah. All right, so that'll wrap it up for our breakdown of Reanimator. Like I said, if you haven't seen it, I don't know what's the matter with you, but go see it right now. It's on Shudder. Or go rent it. Just do something. Go see it. Okay?
Yeah. Yeah, if you don't subscribe to Shudder and you're a subscriber, you're kind of wrong. It's only $5 a month. And I'm not plugging it. You know, they're not giving us anything.
Although they can if they want to call me Shudder.
Oh, call them bitches up. Make some money off Shudder's back.
No, seriously, it's a really good service.
$5, you get to see all this cool
shit.
$5
a month, and they add new stuff every week.
All the time. And you can watch it over your Xbox, and I think you can watch it over PS4
Last week, they added a bunch of the Halloween movies. They added a shit ton of Alfred Hitchcock movies, like all his classic ones, like The Birds and Rope and Psycho.
Some original shorts that they made. One of them was almost X-rated. I mean, they were showing a girl's cooch, and a big eye came out of it. It was weird, man.
It's all fun and games till an eye comes out of your cooch.
Yeah, man. I was like, what the fuck,
We've
man?
All been there.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a little bit. I didn't like the rest of the short.
I didn't like that one.
But that was quite an indelible image, I have to say. I can't remember what the name of it was.
Dumb.
It was kind of dumb.
Innsmouth.
Oh, that's right, yeah. Oh, it was supposed to be Lovecraftian, but it really kind of wasn't. Yeah, it was like a softcore porn short.
And I don't think they really understood Lovecraftian horror. It wasn't really filmed in that. They tried to do it, but
it was a short. I think it was only 15 minutes or something like that. It was or 20 minutes.
It didn't have the right tone.
But like I said, if you don't have Shudder, like I said, it's only $5 a month. They got documentaries and shit. They got short films. They got TV series. I haven't even looked into that yet. I'm still watching all the movies.
It's worth getting that. Yeah. And AMC Stubs has been worth getting.
They can give us money too if they want.
Yeah, they can give us money.
We're plugging them for free. We just like it.
Oh, we have to fit. We're having problems with our shirts. They're not. Our shirts are not showing up for sale on there.
Yeah, I mean they're on there. I've been trying to fix it. It's like
we don't know what's
Zazzle
going.
Has a weird thing with like visibility. Like I'm trying to like add them to a collection. And then, you know what I mean? I'm like, it says they're visible.
Yeah.
And yet some people are telling me
that
they can't see them.
I go there to look. I don't see them.
But then some people have told me that they did see them. So I don't know if it's just, I don't know. I don't know if it's
maybe
people's
it has
browsers.
Some have browsers or copyrights.
I don't know.
Maybe you can take it down and put it back up there or something. I don't know.
I don't know. I'll figure something out.
And we fixed it. So the new book, you can easily see it now on
Yeah, it's now Amazon. Now it's associated on my author page. It always takes like a couple days.
She forgot to do something to get it to do it.
Right. Yeah, well, you have to add it to your library
right.
on your Author Central. I forgot right. to do that. But yeah, so remember, if you like the show too, like, share, subscribe on all your social media and share with all your friends. And remember, if you'd like to financially support the show, you can go to our Patreon page at patreon.com/13oclockpodcast or go to our blog, which is 13oclockpodcast.wordpress.com. And there's a link in the sidebar to a PayPal account where you can give us a one-time donation if you would like to. And remember, our regular episodes come out every Tuesday and our movie reviews come out every Friday. And we will see you next time. Bye.